Agency will not rest until we locate these two swimmers.
Mass shooting at a grocery store outside Little Rock, Arkansas. This former cop was there.
We secured the building inside, and we had a lot of people that ran into the store crying and screaming.
Three dead and at least 10 wounded, including two police officers. The suspect was also wounded. He's in custody. No word on motive. Justin Timberlake held a concert in Chicago last night, just days after his arrest on drunk driving charges. To this fan,
people make mistakes, and no one's condoning the alleged drinking and driving, of course.
Timberlake told fans at that Chicago concert he's had a tough week. He thanked them for supporting him. The 43-year-old pop star was arrested in New York Tuesday for running a stop sign and failing to stay on the right side of the road. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Brian, do you buy your tickets on Ticketmaster?
Whether I want to or not, I do.
Bella Devan. We're going to talk a little bit about monopolies.
Live Nation and Ticketmaster together control 80% of the primary ticketing market. They have the market power to bully people into submission. And then you trap consumers into basically having to pay like junk fees that are basically created to create profit for the company.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
What is the worst movie franchise? Do you have one, Conrad?
What are your thoughts on Transformers?
I saw one Transformer movie. I think it was the first one. I didn't even know what the hell was going on.
I can't get into them anymore because, you know, it's the same every movie now.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be nice if you knew which Transformer. I know there's like testosterone and overload and whatever they, you know.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts. You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. It's summer vacation season. One Wisconsin travel agent says there are plenty of options, even on a tight budget. Mike Moan reports.
Economists are more optimistic these days when it comes to inflation trending downward, but childcare expenses and higher housing payments remain a burden on household finances. Wisconsin-based travel agent Elsie Rushline says if you're wrestling with the idea of heading out of town, there are ways to stretch your travel budget. One example is booking lodging that comes with a complimentary breakfast.
Sometimes the bigger chains include the breakfast and the littler ones, like the motels and stuff, don't. So you might spend a couple dollars more in the hotel, but you're saving that money. Especially if you've got kids, like they always want to eat breakfast.
Rushline says you can also grab some snacks from that breakfast to take on your daily adventures. And if you're planning a relatively short road trip, such as a few days in a nearby lake town, she recommends packing food before you drive off to avoid spending money on drinks and other items at gas stations along the way. For households with a little more wiggle room for a trip further away from home, Rushline says it's not too late to book flights or hotels for later in the summer. But she recommends acting now to keep costs lower.
I would say book ahead if you can, because when you're doing last-minute travel, it tends to be a little bit more expensive.
For those sticking with the road but are worried their vehicle won't make the trip, analysts say car rental prices have come down a bit since their post-pandemic spike in 2021. Rushline says, if possible, I had a trip with another family to split those rental costs along with other expenses. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, showers and thunderstorms, a high near 85. Showers and storms possible tonight with a low of 65. It'll be a little bit on the breezy side. Partly sunny for Sunday, highs in the upper 70s. Sunshine on Monday, highs near 82, low 90s Tuesday.
It's 64 at our studios.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, more and more UW-Madison students are interested in learning about public policy and sinkholes. Why? We'll find out. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Up North News Radio.
June 22nd, 2024. Summer solstice. If it's 7 o'clock on Saturday morning, it's time for This Week in Waukesha. I'm your host, Don Brown. I am joined by the mighty Max Martinson on the board, and we are coming to you live and local from the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown here in the WAUK studios in downtown Waukesha, right around the corner from Theodore Yeoman's Park, where we are proud to honor our suffragette heritage. Here in the Shaw, we've got a full plate for you today. I've got my first two guests already in studio. Here in the hot seat, my first guest is Ben Steinhoff, who is a Democratic candidate for the 5th Congressional District, currently held by Scott Fitzgerald. Ben, how are you this morning?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Very well, thanks. Glad that you're here. And Ben is also joined by his wife, Vicky, who's here in a supporting role. But wanted to kind of give you the agenda for today's show. Of course, Ben is my first guest, but then we have some Waukesha news, including a new restaurant, a new fire chief. We've got my second guest, who is Patrick O'Donnell, retired Milwaukee police officer who started a second career in writing. He's got some books published, and he has his own podcast series called Cops and Writers, and we'll be talking about that that genre. And while Pat's on too, we're going to talk about a landmark conviction or sentencing announced yesterday involving a sexual assault on a local store owner. Very big news. And it would be great to get Patrick's perspectives on that as a longtime member of the police force. And then my third guest is first time here on This Week in Waukesha, a former colleague on the city council who is the 4th District Alderman and Chair of the Finance Committee, among other committee assignments. And that is Smokin' Joe Piper is my guest here in the second hour. So we're looking forward to seeing Joe. So lots to talk about. We're also in the second hour, we'll be getting a couple calls in from giving us a report from the farmer's market. Now that the rain has stopped, you know, it looked rather torrential a few moments as Max is driving in, actually. Things seem to be settling down, and it should be a good day for some shopping, and especially since the rain scares other shoppers away, the real ambitious ones will have a better pick of the litter. But Chris Morrow from WAUK will be calling in at the beginning of the second hour and then halfway through. So we'll give you some updates on what's trending over there. Let's talk about, while Joe's on, we're going to talk about some items going on in city council, some recent provisions that were passed affecting us all. But on a more national level is Ben Steinhoff, who is a paramedic, and you work at Children's Wisconsin.
Correct.
And happily married, his wife Vicky here.
Recently married.
Oh, congratulations.
March 15th.
Excellent. And thank you for the friend request on Facebook. I accepted proudly. So, which is important because Ben has admitted he doesn't like social media. many people don't. But I guess first question is, why do you want to be the 5th District U.S. Congressman?
Well, what I usually tell most people is I didn't really want to run into this role, but looking around the political makeup that we had, not only in this district, but around the country, I realized that somebody needed to step in and do something, and we needed somebody who was more down to earth, a little more grounded than the current politicians that we have. It's, you know, it's called the People's House, and we haven't really had too many people in there recently. It's just been a lot of people that are going in there for self-service and, you know, to kind of grow their own wealth, really. I mean, we could really talk all day long about, you know, stock trading and whatnot that's going on in Congress right now. I currently don't own any stocks, so I can promise you that once I do get in, I wouldn't be trading my own stocks and, you know, looking at that. I'd actually be here to serve the constituents of the 5th Congressional District.
Excellent, excellent. Now, do you live in Waukesha or just in Waukesha County?
Waukesha County. We're in Pewaukee, so just north of here.
I see. Pewaukee, don't. Yeah, and so have you been involved in politics previously in any capacity?
No, not particularly. I'd been focused on my career in medicine and hopefully trying to advance in that. But what really got me involved in politics was back in 2020. I was a paramedic working at the city of Monona for the Monona Fire and EMS. And as most people know, we had a little bug going around in 2020 called COVID. And the national government decided that they wanted to help out local EMS, fire, police stations and stuff like that with a whole bunch of money that they'd set aside for us to help buy PPE, drugs, you know, airway supplies, different things like that. And our wonderful state legislature decided that they didn't want to give that money to EMS, police and fire. And so that's kind of when I first started poking my head into politics. My brother was very involved in politics down in Georgia. He was working for the Bernie Sanders campaign. So he kind of was pushing me more and more to get into politics. And the more and more we got through 2020, you know, I was really reading more and more, getting more involved. And I would come home and I would, you know, kind of just like unload everything on Vicky and just be like, did you hear this? Did you read about this? And after about a year, year and a half of that, she gracefully listened to me one day. And then finally said, you know what, Ben, I love you to death, but you either have to do something or just shut up about this stuff. And so it was about like 2 months later, I, you know, came home and I was like, hey, so I think I'm going to run for Congress. And I thought that she would, you know, kind of look at me and just be like, what are you thinking? But she was like, OK, what do we need to do? And we started moving forward from there. And now we are the Democratic nominee for the Wisconsin's 5th Congressional District. Still feels weird coming out of my mouth.
Because you don't have you no longer have an opponent for the Democratic primary, correct?
Correct. We are fully endorsed by the 5th CD right now as the Democratic nominee, and we're moving forward and hopefully getting all the support that we can so we can get Scott Fitzgerald out of office.
But you still have to go through the motions like you're running in a primary, right? That first vote, is that in August?
Yep, August 13th. And so the way we're actually going to be running the campaign, because I don't know if most of the listeners know about this, but we do have two constitutional amendments that are on the ballot this year for the August 13th primary.
Okay.
And I'm advising people to vote no on both of those because as it goes back to that 2020, one of the constitutional amendments that they have on there is that the governor would no longer be able to dole out emergency funds or anything like that.
Yeah.
It would all have to go through our state legislature. They only worked about 100 days this year, so we would have to be planning all of our natural disasters around when legislature's in session, which is pretty difficult.
Right. Yeah.
But we're going to be, you know, going out. We still want people to go out and support our campaign because the more people go out and vote, you know, kind of shows a vote of confidence.
You want to have a strong turnout for the primary.
Exactly.
Sure, absolutely.
That, and we hopefully want to defeat both of these constitutional amendments.
Okay. Max, how are we doing on time, friend? Okay, 5 minutes. Terrific. So, hey, I want to interject something, and this is a special thanks to Luke Mathers, our executive producer for Civic Media, who sent me this press release yesterday. And it involves the Waukesha Public Library. On July 19th, there will be a free stage dramatic reading of It Can't Happen Here Again. And it'll take place at 4 p.m. that day. And as a background, on July 14th, 2024, at the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee, former President Donald Trump will accept his party's third consecutive nomination for their candidate for president. And Waukesha County, of course, is critical to how this historic election will play out. In response to the RNC convention on the 18th and 19th, the national group Writers for Democratic Action and its Wisconsin chapter of Wisconsin Writers for Democratic Action will launch over 40 stage dramatic readings of this play. Again, it's called It Can't Happen Here. Again, it's an adaptation of the play by the Nobel laureate Sinclair Lewis. From most of you might remember his book, Main Street. Lewis's groundbreaking 1936 play about fascism coming to America has eerie parallels to the threats to democracy we face today. In 1936, at the time of the rising authoritarianism, American isolation, and right-wing media ascendancy, It Can't Happen Here was performed in over 20 locations across the U.S. prior to that presidential election. FDR won re-election in a landslide. The one-act adaptation by Shorewood native Wes Savick, formerly of Theater X, Milwaukee, features noted regional playwrights and actors John Kishline and Deborah Clifton. Their son Sam Kishline, also an actor, and actor Tom Briggs, all are Waukesha residents. They'll be joined by Delafield author and Wisconsin State Chair for Writers for Democratic Action, Jackie Leiden. There'll be question and answers following. So, and just really quick is what inspired Lewis to write this play was his wife, journalist Dorothy Thompson, interviewed Adolf Hitler. And she said, when liberty is taken away by force, it can be restored by force. Her character says in the play, but when it is taken away by default, it can never be restored. And so that's kind of your charge, is probably addressing some of the people that are kind of staying out of the fight, either because it's a bad taste in their mouth or because mm-hmm. it's really never been their MO.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, like I said earlier, was never really my MO, was never really my intention to get into politics. But, you know, looking at the left and the right, I think that we've kind of been, you know, pushed into our own little corners. And I don't think that that really is reflective of the 5th District or the nation. And sure. So I grew up in Wisconsin, lived here my whole life, and I know people in Wisconsin. I've been in the food service industry for a long time, been in EMS for a long time. I've never gotten to choose, you know, which clients that I got. They always came to me, quite literally, sure. Or called me and said, hey, I need some help. Yeah. So, you know, I know that there's a ton of good people around here. I know that even people on the right are kind of sick of what's going on, you know. Convicted felon is going to be their nominee for president. I know that there's a lot of people that can't really believe that, myself included. So sure, we just need somebody that has, you know, like real world experience, that didn't grow up, you know, with a silver spoon in their mouth or anything like that, and wants to go and make a difference for the people that actually live and work and, you know, go to school here in this district. So I just really want to make Wisconsin and the 5th District a better place. And, you know, as goes Wisconsin, goes the nation. So hopefully we can be a shining beacon on the hill for the rest of the nation.
Sure. And then we're going to continue this conversation with Ben Steinhoff, candidate for Congress. And one thing we're going to want to know is that with the new landmark fair maps that was passed by the Supreme Court, it is yet to affect the congressional maps. And so Ben will have the same challenge that his predecessors had in running in a very red district, especially when you get out in the rural area. So Ben's going to talk a little bit about his strategies for addressing that and where he's even found some success, or at least maybe made some traction, if you will, plus other local news. And Daniel O'Donnell will be my guest in the next in the second half here. So much to look forward to here on this rainy Saturday morning on This Week in Waukesha on WAUK 540 AM 101.1 FM. And don't forget to download the Civic Media app so you can catch all of our great programming throughout the state. Don't just talk about
The Shaw, WAUK.
I'm a pretty great multitasker. I can wash dishes and do laundry.
I can roller skate while walking my dog.
I can even order lunch while doing my homework. But I can't use my phone while driving. A distracted driver is one of the leading causes of death in the United States. So when it comes to driving, please, don't be a multitasker.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Sometimes our healthcare system can feel impersonal.
Who can help my healthcare team understand what is important to me? Who can connect me with community services and health resources?
Community health representatives can. Community health representatives, or CHRs, live and work in our community, so they understand your unique health needs and can break down the barriers that get between you and the quality care you deserve. Want to learn more? See all the good community health representatives do at dhs.wisconsin.gov/CHR.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Todd Allball Show.
My heart is calling you.
Listening to This Week in Waukesha with Don Brown, and we are waiting for the sun to shine as we enjoy this lovely air from Waukesha's favorite son, Les Paul. And I'm joined by 5th District Congressional candidate Ben Steinhoff, who you like. I bet you like Les Paul. You like guitar. You like good music, right?
Mm-hmm, of course.
Sounds good. And you said you'll plan on being here on July 18th for that that presentation, that adaptation of the Sinclair Lewis novel, It Can't Happen Here, mm-hmm. again. And I encourage everybody to check that out with an open mind. And because I think as someone, I am officially nonpartisan. I grew up in a Republican family, in a Republican community, and I'm also the son of grandson of Irish immigrants that were obviously very Democrat, very pro-union. So I was exposed to kind of both sides. I tell people jokingly that I'm biracial. And so because I think there were certainly good values, good ideas coming from all sides. And I, you know, this whole, it's more important to be right than it is to move the nation forward has really crippled us in recent years. And it's just really time to put an end to this. And so that's why I'm really encouraged. I'm enthusiastic to see young candidates for office. We had an 18-year-old that's running for state assembly for Scott Allen's seat that was in here. I don't know if that was last week or the week before when we had the youngster. Yep. But Ben, what haven't we talked about? What do you want people of Waukesha to know, their listeners here to know about your candidacy and why they should take a hard look at you and what you bring to the table?
Well, first thing is the website is wisconsinforben.com.
Nice.
I've been told repeatedly.
I was looking at it. I was like, what's Wisconsin for Ben? I was like, what's going on? Wisconsinforben.com. Yes.
Forben.com.
Forben.
You can find out, all of our policies on there, a little bit more about my background and everything on there. You can also donate. Unfortunately, that's, part of politics, and that's what we have to do. It's my least favorite part. I get yelled at by my campaign manager about it all the time, but somebody who like I said didn't grow up very wealthy and currently dealing with our current policies and everything. We just got a house in 2022, got lucky with that, but all our money there.
Yeah,
so
the housing crisis.
It's tough to ask people for money when a lot of people don't have a ton of it, but it's what drives the machine.
Where did you grow up again?
La Crosse. I grew up in La Crosse.
Okay.
Yep. Moved here when I turned 18. My brother was going to, moved to Madison in 2009, and my brother was going to school at UW. He was going for engineering, got his degree. Then that's when he moved down to Georgia. I was still in the Madison area, just got my paramedic degree, and that's when I met my lovely wife, Vicky, and she was finishing up her audiology degree. She got a job here in Waukesha, and I was like, I can be a paramedic anywhere. And so we moved here, got a job at Children's and decided to run for Congress.
Sounds great. No, I love it. That's ambitious. And so, we're talking about what is your strategy for getting into the rural areas, a real red, or even Waukesha, which is a red city. What is your strategy for kind of getting across to those people and getting them to take a harder look at your candidacy?
So just getting out there and getting seen. When we first moved into the district, we moved to Lake Mills because that was halfway between Madison and Waukesha.
Sure.
And beautiful place, love Lake Mills in Jefferson County. And, when we were there, we got to meet, a lot of different people and saw that it was, a pretty heavy farming community and things like that. So just getting out and getting seen, having people see that, even though I am running on the Democratic ticket, we are still running for the rural voters because La Crosse is, a bigger city, but my dad lived just north of there in Holman, which was a huge farming community as well. So I've been around farming my whole life. My dad was the 10th of 10 children. They all grew up on a farm. Yeah. So He grew up on a farm. You know, they still own that farm to this day out in Sparta.
Okay.
And so that's
kind of Sparta.
It's a beautiful place. Nice. You know, it's the biking capital of the world.
Is that hometown of Zeke Slayton, astronaut?
Mm-hmm. Making that right? Yes, it is. So,
his bicycle capital. Yeah, yeah.
So, just getting out, getting seen by the voters, just letting them know that helping farmers is a huge thing because farmers basically run Wisconsin. You know, if we didn't have dairy farms here, we wouldn't have, you know, as much of an economy, wouldn't have all the beautiful, delicious cheese that we have either.
There we go.
So, just, you know, showing that I am still hardworking. I am in this for the farmers and not just, you know, like the corporate elite or anything like that. So just letting them know that we really are here for them. And I want my policies to help reflect that as well. So. Okay.
So in your website, you mentioned there's four key issues that you're focusing on.
Mm-hmm.
If you could give us a summary of that: education, healthcare, cannabis legalization, and women's health.
Mm-hmm. I usually try to save the cannabis legalization for the end because, you know, it does turn some people off, but it is 2024. It's legal, you know, pretty much every other state essentially has legalized cannabis. But the main reason I usually leave it till the end is because you always have politicians talking, oh, I'm going to change this, I'm going to change that, I want to do this and that and lower taxes. And everybody goes, well, how are you going to pay for that?
Right.
And I always love when people ask me that because I go, marijuana legalization. Right now, the state of Wisconsin is missing out on an estimated $485 million a year in tax revenue.
Wow.
And that's just from sales tax. That's
sure.
not including business taxes, expenses, or, you know, fees and things like that these businesses are going to have to pay into. That's just straight money that we are giving to Illinois. And as a proud Wisconsinite, you know, you and I both know how much we all love Illinois and love giving our money and things to Illinois.
With the noise.
Yeah, they're obviously not spending it on their football stadium because that thing's still, you know,
oh, God.
I don't know last time you were at Soldier Field, but it's still not great.
Well, just more that there's now everything's up in the air. We're not sure if they're going back to Arlington Heights. Now that's back on the table. And so, yeah, I just don't know. But I keep telling people if they go to Arlington Heights, they got to get rid of that big median on Palatine Road. Because if one of those cars dies there, you're going to have a lot of angry football fans stuck in traffic.
Yep.
So I hope that they have a solution for that. So, but tell us about education while we have time.
So one of the main things for education, you know, I don't want to say there's been an attack on education, but, you know, kind of since the 80s, we've been rolling back the funding that we put into our public school system. And
sure.
we've been taking a lot of money out of the public school system and putting it into private vouchers and things like that. I know these are all state issues, but they are still issues that matter a lot to me. But one of the main things for education, you know, everybody always talks about, oh, you know, we need to, you know, help get better funding in our schools. We need, you know, better education for our kids. I also think that we need a much easier path for education for adults because, as I said, you
Excellent
know, when you
point.
Asked me why I wanted to get into this, I didn't. I wanted to go back to school, get my nursing degree, and then become a CRNA, which is essentially, you know, an anesthetist, because I like what I do. I love working with kids. And, you know, pharmacology, I think, is very interesting. So that's what I really wanted to go back into. But when I was looking at the path as a paramedic to get to the nurse anesthetist level, it was going to take me like 6 to 8 years just to get into school for the CRNA school. Whereas all my friends growing up who all have accounting degrees, they could get there in about 2 years because they already have a 4-year degree. They have absolutely no idea what the medical system is or, you know, how to work in it. And I have over 12 years experience in the medical field in the OR, ER, med flight, EMS. You know, I've been at all different levels of it. And it would take me, you know, almost a decade to get to a level that they could get to in 2 years, all because they have a piece of paper that says, hey, you're good at math. So I think that there needs to be a better way to do that. I think there needs to be a lower education cost at the collegiate level, you know, just to help out
Sounds
people,
great.
You know, advance their future forward.
Excellent. Ben Steinhoff. Democratic candidate for the 5th Congressional District held by Scott Fitzgerald. Thanks so much for joining us this morning along with your wife, Vicki, and we look forward to having you back on after you win the primary, and we'll have you back on closer to the general election. But best of luck, and more Patrick O'Donnell's next here on This Week in Waukesha. Don't go away.
Thank you.
The world is waiting for the sunrise.
This is the Shaw, WAUK. CBS News brief. 100 million Americans are waking up under some kind of heat advisory today.
Record high temperatures extend west into portions of Pennsylvania. If you head into the middle of the country, Peoria will near a record today, and we will see more record highs into the south as next week begins.
CBS meteorologist David Parkinson, and if you're hoping to flee the heat with a foreign holiday, well, much of southern Europe's under heat warnings, too. In the waters off Queens, New York, the search continues for two teenage boys who disappeared in a wave at a beach under a no-swimming warning. Kaz Daughtry is with the New York Police Department.
The currents are extremely, extremely rough. The divers had to come out of the water because the current was extremely dangerous. It was too rough.
At a grocery store outside Little Rock, Arkansas yesterday.
It's like you see on TV. Pow, 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 pow. Shotguns and small arms.
Three dead, at least 10 wounded, including two responding officers. The suspect was also wounded. He's under arrest. No word on motive. CBS News brief. I'm Vicky.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
The Brewers lose again in San Diego.
Hi,
I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers losing 9-5 to the Padres. On Thursday night, the Padres' hero was second baseman Jake Cronenworth with a walk-off home run in the bottom of the ninth. On Friday, Cronenworth was a one-man scoring machine, going 5-for-5 against Brewers pitching, scoring four runs with two more runs batted in.
Towards the gap in right center field. That ball is back, and it's going to be off the bottom of the wall. First five-hit game of his career for Jake Cronenworth.
So San Diego has won the first two of the four-game series. Game three coming up tonight on Fox TV nationwide. The first pitch at 6:15. NFL, several Packers players in New Berlin, Wisconsin today to participate in a cornhole beanbag toss tournament for charity. A.J. Dillon, defensive back Carrington Valentine, will compete with another half dozen players from around the NFL. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
WAUK weather is sponsored by Planet X in Brookfield. Stocked with the freshest cigars at the best prices, 173rd and West Blue Mound Road.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, showers and thunderstorms, a high near 85. Showers and storms possible tonight with a low of 65. It'll be a little bit on the breezy side. Partly sunny for Sunday, highs in the upper 70s. Sunshine on Monday, highs near 82, low 90s Tuesday.
It's 64 at our studios.
Introducing Brookfield's newest cigar and vape shop, Planet X. They have endless options with their wide variety of products. Experience luxury in their expansive cigar room, stocked with only the freshest cigars. And the best part? Planet X offers the cheapest prices in Brookfield. Open to serve you Monday through Saturday, 8 a.m. until midnight, and Sundays from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. Come in today for cigars, vapes, and much more at Planet X.
Celebrate Independence Day with Waukesha Parks Recreation and Forestry at the fireworks on July 3rd, presented by Core Reinsurance. Head out to Lowell Park for food, music featuring the decade, and a neighborhood beer garden starting at 6 p.m. Complimentary globe bracelets from Educators Credit Union are available while they last, and WAUK will play patriotic music during the fireworks on 101.1 FM. Head downtown for the parade on July 4th, presented by Core Reinsurance, starting at 11 a.m. Thursday morning. See you there.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones. Check 511WI.gov or download the app for road work or closures on your route. Know before you go with 511 Wisconsin. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
1, 2, 3.
What you doing?
4, 5, 6. Counting the first place awards from the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association.
WISS in Oshkosh for the best promo. WAUK in Waukesha, best Maggie Dawn Show web story. WMDX in Madison, best web story about the Max Inc. radio show. And WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids for best show, interview, and promo.
Informed, entertained, connected.
And winning.
Your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on The Shaw. 101.1 FM and 540 AM WAUK. And on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Capital Times entertainment reporter Rob Thomas and Wisconsinology website creator, director, and producer Frank Anderson joins the show.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights 7 till 9. Don't stop the incident. Don't leave.
You're listening to This Week in Waukesha with your host, Don Brown, coming to you live and local from the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown. I got the mighty Max Martinson on the board, and my second guest, Patrick O'Donnell, author, podcast host, and retired Milwaukee police officer and fellow Irishman, Patrick Cade Milafalcha. Glad you're here.
Well, thanks for having me.
You bet. And Patrick mentioned that he's, I guess he is a regular listener to this show because he listened to my guest last week, the Nunchucks, and it turns out you're a punk rock fan.
Hell yeah. It's so encouraging to see young kids embracing punk rock. I was so excited about that. And it's like, they didn't know a lot about the Sex Pistols. Which surprised me.
I thought that would have been an inspiration to them.
I was listening to the soundtrack on the way here.
Okay. Yeah.
That's a great soundtrack. Oh my God.
Nunchucks, huh?
The Sex Pistols. Okay. Gary Oldman was actually singing.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. From the movie. Okay.
Yeah, from the movie.
From Sid and Nancy.
Yeah. You know, Joe Strummer's in there from The Clash.
Yeah.
It's a great, great soundtrack.
Yeah. And that was a really great movie. Obviously, a very tragic movie, but great.
Oh, yeah.
Just a great depiction of what was going on back then.
Yeah. It's not a feel good lifting up.
It certainly is not. Yeah. So
it's not going to be a Hallmark movie anytime soon.
No. Right, right. So, but weren't you offended when they're partying on the boat and the police come and one of them says, "I didn't know pigs could swim."
I thought it was funny.
With the British accent. Yeah.
I thought it was hilarious.
Terrific. So, but in your career, obviously very sobering, a lot of what you had witnessed. And how many years were you on the force in Milwaukee?
25 years.
25 years. Okay. And you served with our current, you knew our current chief, Daniel Thompson, who was with Milwaukee.
I love Danny MPD. Thompson.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. We could not pick a better chief of police. We really couldn't.
I couldn't agree more.
I would endorse him till the cows come home. He's a great guy. I've seen him in action. He's fair.
Yeah.
You know, he's a good person. And he is exactly what you want in a police chief.
Yeah. Yeah. Well said. Well said. So, but more about you. When did you start writing? Was it while you were serving or was it after you retired?
I'm a big believer in the saying, fill the well before you're thirsty.
Okay.
Dig the well before you're thirsty.
Yes.
And, you know, I had it in my head. I started into the police department a little bit later on in life. I was 30.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Which is, I was running around a bunch of 20-something-year-olds. So.
Yeah, yeah.
And what happened was I told myself, it's like, okay, 25 years, I'll be 55 years old. I've reached my expiration, it's a young man's game. It's not an old guy's game.
Sure.
And I spent my entirety on the street. I promoted to sergeant after about 7 years.
Wow.
On the job. So I retired as a sergeant, which was the best job on the department because I got to go to all the cool stuff. You know, I had to go to like all the stuff.
Yeah.
So what happened was, I was after about 20 years, it starts hitting you and you're like, okay, now what? I mean, yeah, I'm old enough to retire from police work, but I don't want to retire.
Right.
So before I was a cop, I sold cars. I was living in Madison.
Yeah.
I was selling cars at John Lancaster.
Okay.
And I did that for 4 years. I bartended. I worked at IHOP downtown Madison. I was a manager there for a year.
Yeah.
Because
I had a similar career out as me. I was in the restaurant business.
I have a degree in sociology, and that's what a 4-year degree in sociology will get you.
Absolutely. Where's your degree from?
UW Whitewater.
Okay. Warhawks.
Yeah. Oh, love Whitewater. Oh, my gosh. I had a great time there.
Neat.
But what happened was after I got on the job, people were asking me, hey, could you come with me and help me buy this car?
Right.
Like family and friends.
Sure.
And then it kind of blossomed into a little side hustle.
Right.
That's when, websites were first starting. You go to GoDaddy and you kind of throw something up.
Right, right.
And that's about the same time self-publishing was becoming a thing.
Okay.
On Amazon. And it's like, And somebody told me, it's like, you should write a book.
Right.
About how to buy a car to go along with your business. And I'm like, all right. So I wrote it under pen name. I was all Secret Squirrel because I didn't want to have to get it approved through the chief because any off-duty employment, it's like, I don't want to go through all that.
What was your pen name?
Joel Gray.
Joel Gray.
Yes.
All right.
So Joel Gray wrote the book, I Never Wore Plaid, Insider Secrets from a Former Car Salesperson.
Nice.
And I mean, just a horrible cover. It wasn't edited that great.
Right.
And I sold a bunch, not a lot, but enough. But I learned the process and I started going to writers' conferences.
Right.
And inevitably people come up to you like at the happy hour or whatever. It's like, hey, you're that cop guy, right? And I'm like, I'm not wearing a t-shirt. I don't have a sandwich board, you know, whatever. And people that know a lot more about the business than I do, they're like, you need to write a book about the police stuff for writers.
Yeah.
So I did. I wrote two books called Cops and Writers. And those are more police procedurals for people who want to write like good crime fiction.
Okay. Oh, wow. A how-to.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I wrote two of those.
Sure.
And to get that rolling to advertise, I started a podcast. And at first it was, you know, not many people at all. And that's just exploded. I've been doing that for 3 years.
Okay.
And I have a Facebook group, Cops and Writers.
Right.
And I've got, it started with me, my editor, and a couple of friends. Now there's 7,500 people in there.
Wow.
Literally from all over the globe.
Nice.
And I'm meeting people, you know, it just, it's great. I can't say enough good things about it.
That's terrific. And so how would people find your podcast? Is it through, the Cops and Writers website?
Yeah, it's either through my website. You know, it's on like 20 different platforms.
Okay.
You know, all the big ones like Apple or Spotify. Those are the two biggest. But also like Amazon Music, Audible.
Sure.
You know, wherever you consume your podcasts.
Okay. So, but that's terrific. And then you also, and thank you for this, you have a series of books. Like this, the one I've got here, Field Training. And you co-wrote this with Michael Anderle, is that correct?
Yes. What happened was...
Bruce City Blues, book one.
Bruce City Blues. It takes place in Milwaukee. Big surprise.
Yeah.
And it's loosely based on my experiences in the city as a cop.
Sure.
So what happened was I interviewed Michael. He has one of the largest independent author publications.
Okay.
He has his own publishing house.
Wow.
And it's called LMBPN. Mm. And I was talking to him after I interviewed him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, you know, I want to get into crime fiction. And I'm like, okay. Before you know it, we struck a deal.
Wow.
And there was just, you know, two dudes chatting. And he also started the Facebook group called 20 Books to 50K.
Okay.
If you're an independent author, that is a great, great resource for you.
Excellent.
You know, we had, since 2017... we had the largest indie author conference in Vegas every year.
Wow.
So the first time I went was in 17. I knew one person. I saw her for 5 minutes and then didn't see her the rest of the conference. So I'm like, all right. And there was about 300-400 people.
Okay.
I was there last year and I think they're up to about 2,000, 2,500.
Wow.
And I mean, it's just huge.
Sure.
And I always, well, the last 3 years, I would moderate a panel for, you know, like law enforcement for writers.
Sure.
And I would have guests from like all over the country.
Wow.
And it just exploded.
Sure.
So it's pretty cool.
That's neat. Wow. What an interesting career track you've taken.
Yeah. It goes all over the place.
So as we discussed this in between, before we went back on air, and I'm throwing Patrick a little bit of a audible, but he had time to prepare, was that yesterday there was landmark, big news in the city of Waukesha about a verdict in a sexual assault case involving a store owner here in Waukesha, Stephanie Olson, a good friend of our, of WUK's Johnny Watermelon, by the way, and I had the pleasure of meeting her. And she was assaulted by a young man named Kendrew Wilson. And after the attack, she went immediately to the hospital, reported everything to the police. The police, Waukesha police, credit to them and the supporting agencies around Waukesha County, apprehended this guy, I believe, within 24 hours. And from what I heard was that the DA's office necessarily didn't have the appetite to really, with their busy caseload. And Stephanie was tenacious and was very successful in efforts to get this, we can now say convicted, but this young man prosecuted to the full extent of the law, and he was sentenced to, I believe, about 50 years. When he gets out, he'll be 75 years old. And the judge even said, I hope you die in prison, because it's just very disturbing. And you talk about stuff, you know, that is maybe book worthy. Sadly, tragically, is they found a list in this guy's backpack that had a list of 20 different types of women that he planned on assaulting. And one of them happened to be an older woman, and Stephanie, over 60, unfortunately, was that one victim. But because of her efforts, he's off the street and these other 19 categories of women in all in downtown Waukesha, by the way, have been spared this real, you know, awful setting. But and Patrick Bauman, you might know, and I'm sorry, Dan Bauman, you might know from Waukesha, the police captain, head of PR, he even commented like, this stuff doesn't happen. Like, this was really disturbing.
Yeah, that's a rarity. A stranger sexual assault like that,
right,
is a rarity. And Waukesha is it's a very safe city for the size of the city.
Sure.
You know, I was used to coming from Milwaukee, you know, now I live in Waukesha and I'm like, oh my God, this place is great. You know, yeah. It's like the police do a fantastic job.
Yep.
And, you know, you want to keep it as safe as possible, but hats off to the victim in this. How incredibly brave
Hero.
Is she?
Yeah.
You know, it just, it blows my mind. You know, the tenacity, like you said, and the strength in her to, you know, drive herself to the hospital and advocate for herself.
Yeah.
It would have been really easy just to kind of sit back and it's like, well, you know, what happens, happens, you know, yada, yada. It's
she
like,
was no. very public about this and yes. wanted, because she wants other women or other victims of assault like that to step forward. And I just learned yesterday through a mutual friend that Stephanie has agreed to be my guest on next week's show.
Wow.
So we're really excited that Stephanie will be joining us to continue promoting her advocacy,
yes.
Her survival, and her heroics in bringing a very troubled individual to justice, a violent offender to justice.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, this suspect, you know, in my opinion, that isn't enough time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, I just, that should be a life sentence.
Sure.
Because obviously he's predisposed to this. He's, you know, he's got this list, whatever. You know, there ain't no fixing that. I don't think
he just got bailed out for an assault on a bus or something like that.
And, I'm not surprised.
And he took the bus here to Waukesha and got off and found that Stephanie's store was open
and how many,
in broad daylight.
And how many women has he assaulted before this
that we don't know
didn't
about?
Come forward.
Yes.
You know, and it's like, thank God this woman, Stephanie.
Yeah.
You know, did what she did because she's probably saved some other women a similar fate. This guy isn't going to stop.
Yeah. And as I said, I met her at the farmer's market, and I think in a couple other instances through Johnny Watermelon, and she's just a lovely human being.
Sure.
And so it's just, when you, I mean, nobody deserves this, of course, but when you know the type of person that Stephanie is, you're just like, wow, I can't believe somebody would treat her like that.
You know, it's shocking, and it shocks you down to your soul.
Right.
If you haven't been exposed to this, which most people haven't been exposed to, like, violent
right.
crime.
Right.
It's kind of mind-blowing. They're like, it's almost like an out-of-body experience. They're like, this can't be happening.
Sure.
And, you know, for what I was involved in for 25 years, it's like, oh, yeah, you know, you become hypervigilant.
Sure.
You know, too bad she didn't have a gun on her is the way I see it. You know, it's like, this guy's a piece of human trash that needs to be taken out.
Right, right.
But that's just me.
Sure, sure. So, but, and also through your books, you have a great, I guess, a medium for expressing maybe some of your outrage or indignation about what you've witnessed in your years in the force.
Absolutely. You know, the Bruce City Blues series is a very much a police procedural. You know, I explained why the cops do what they do with a story.
Sure.
And I just started a new series that should be out by the end of summer where it's, you know, all fiction.
Sure.
You know, so that one I'm having a blast with.
That's great. That's great. You know, as a good aside, one of my previous writing guests, Sarah, the author who displays at the farmer's market, she gave me a book called War and Roses that just got published. And it's about a woman who helped her ex-husband, who's a county sheriff, bring some people to justice. So, but more of the conversation continues as Patrick O'Donnell, and I see Joe Piper wandering around outside the window, so I'm going to go fetch him. But we're really excited. It's a great Saturday here on This Week in Waukesha, WUK, 540 AM, 101.1 FM. And don't forget the Civic Media app.
You're listening to The Shaw at WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Hi, I'm Emily from Weichert Realtors Lake Point in Madison. Home ownership is a big deal, and so is taking the leap into the buying or selling of any property. The Weichert team gets that, and our job is to help you navigate the sales process and provide smooth sailing. You have questions? We have answers. You have worries? We have solutions. Let us open the door to your future home. Weichert Realtors Lake Point, 608-721-8002, 2045 Atwood Avenue. Find more info at weichert-lakepoint.com.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Hey, listen to This Week in Waukesha, and as an ode to my guest, retired Milwaukee police officer Patrick O'Donnell, we've got The Police with So Lonely, one of my favorites from that. That was from their first album.
Yeah.
And you admitted you're a punk rock fan, and they were kind of in that new wave genre that kind of was a follow-up to punk, and they had a real edge to them, and loved The Police. That was a great band.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, of course, we love our local police, Waukesha, and Milwaukee, and they'll have their hands full at the RNC coming up. Like all the different municipalities, their police forces will be participating, if I understand correctly.
Yeah, you have police departments from all over the country that are going to be coming here.
Yeah. So I was on the city council with my next guest, Joe Pipers, who's here in studio, 4th District Alderman, and we had voted to approve police support for the DNC pre-COVID.
Right.
And, of course, COVID happened and some other issues, and they backed out because it all went virtual. But excited that there's another convention, regardless of party, that hopefully that'll be a real boon for our local economy, and we can minimize any unnecessary acts of violence or other things. And like I said, it's good that we have the full force of our metro area police departments in that effort.
Absolutely.
So, but like I said, it should be a great thing for this area, for our restaurants and for retail, hotels.
Oh God,
all the things.
Yeah, because those delegates come from Illinois. There isn't enough hotels in this area for them. So they bus them up from Illinois. That's a lot of them come from there.
Really? For the RNC?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're going to come from Racine, Kenosha, Madison. There's a whole lot of busing going on.
Just for the day, you mean? And then
yeah.
Going, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
Because my hope was once the Milwaukee hotels filled up, was that the area, like Waukesha Hotel, other area hotels would be booking people and then they would Uber in or figure out other ways.
I think a lot of people, that's what they started with, Airbnb. It's like, hey, I can make some money.
Yeah.
A lot of people are going to be in town. So.
Sure.
But then you got to spend money going somewhere.
That's it. Our friend Patrick O'Donnell makes his money another way, leveraging all those years, 25 years in the police force and his writing skills. And that Irish artist that's in him, I believe is the both of us to...
my inner Irishness, yes.
That's it. To channel some a book series and also a podcast on cops and writers. We talked about this on the phone during the week, that there's an insatiable demand for police crime genre, whether it's fiction or real life or real. And so you've seemed to really capture or get a bite out of that.
Yeah. People are just fascinated by anything police. Love them, hate them, somewhere in the middle. It always draws attention. Whenever you put yellow tape up, oh my God, it was like moths to a flame.
Sure.
No matter what it was, and right away it's like, who's dead? Who's dead? Somebody dead?
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah.
So you'll appreciate the story, Patrick. I just thought of it was, and Joe might remember this, Waukesha City Council, we approved body cams for our police. Mm-hmm. But to do that, Chief Thompson invited all the alders to, they had like, Axiom had a kind of a little mini trade show across the street from the city hall. Did you go to that show? It was great. I was there with Daniel Mannion, and we got to try the tasers. But there was a guy, he's retired Tulsa police that consults for Waukesha. I forget, it's a really funny guy. And it turns out we had a mutual friend who, a friend of mine is a deputy chief of one of the area police departments there. And this guy from Tosa, the consultant, sitting at home and he's watching. There was like a murder or something took place, and our friend's there, and he's you know, had to put a tie on, and as he's looking down on this body, he gets a text from, and it says, "You knew you were going to be on TV. Why didn't you pick a better tie?" Or something like that. It was just, oh my god, you know, like, what is a very obviously a very serious moment, it involves violent, you know, murder and violence,
right?
You know, this guy comes in with a crack. So does some of your books have a little bit of that, you know?
There's a lot of dark humor.
Okay.
Then the new series that I'm writing, it's even darker.
And what's that series called?
It's going to be called The Good Collar.
Okay.
And if you're a fan of Dexter, you're going to absolutely love it.
Okay.
It's a combination of Dexter with the dash of John Wick and Death Wish.
Wow. I remember Death Wish. Charles Bronson.
Yep. And it was remade. Bruce Willis. Remake.
Really?
Yeah.
How long ago?
Oh, maybe about 10 years ago.
Okay.
That,
wow.
Actually, that was a really good movie. He was the ER doc.
And was it called Chicago. Death Wish and everything?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, and Bruce Willis was an ER doc?
Yes.
Okay.
That turned into a vigilante.
Okay. Oh, that's right. Because Bronson was like a businessman.
Yeah.
A business owner.
Yeah. His wife and daughter were brutally attacked. You know, at
I know that because I remember I saw that. Yeah. Yes. That was something.
But for my book, the police chaplain is the vigilante.
The police chaplain. Okay.
Yeah. You know, in Dexter, wow. He's the serologist that everybody likes.
Sure.
Well, in mine, you know, the police chaplain, nobody would suspect him. And he can go in and out of crime scenes,
sure.
Go to computers. Everybody loves him.
Wow. Scary.
Yep. Very dark, but I'm having a ton of fun writing it.
It really sounds like it. So, hey, we have 3 minutes where we go into our second hour. Is there, what else do you want our listeners to know about Patrick O'Donnell and Cops and Writers that we haven't talked about?
Boy, you know, when we're talking off air, I'm going to be on a crime documentary. I'm going to be narrating it.
Wow.
We filmed it back in November.
Okay.
It's going to go live on Tubi TV.
Sure.
September 11th.
Okay.
I don't think there is a title for it quite
yet.
But it's...
You'll keep us posted.
Yeah. It's about a Jeremy Simcoe homicide that happened in Ohio.
Wow. Okay.
It's a wife killing a husband.
Mm.
And
okay.
Yeah, it took the cops, I think, the DA 5 years to make a case against her.
Wow.
And she's going on cruises. Sure. She got a new boyfriend right away after she just murdered her husband.
Wow. So I just had a thought and idea. I don't know if you listened to one of our shows on Civic Media and WAK plays. It's called Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. And it's like, it was 8 to 10 Monday through Friday. And I think you'd be a great guest on his show because I think what you're doing deserves a larger audience.
Okay.
Statewide and Pete Love because he likes having different writers on and artists and anything to do with he's a big TV and movie guy. So
I'd love that. That'd be great.
We'll try to figure that out.
And absolutely.
But since you're here in Waukesha, you live in Waukesha, we definitely got to have you back on here.
Oh, I love it.
And we got to meet up for some coffee, talk more about your career, my writing aspirations, our common Irish heritage, and so much more.
Absolutely.
So I think we'll have a lot of fun. But I'm really glad we finally got to meet in person.
Yes.
And you're welcome to stick around, too, as Joe Piper's on next, 4th District Alder Joe Piper, wearing his Tulsa T-shirt, his alma mater. So I didn't know that about Joe. But there's a lot to talk about in the second hour, some big developments in city news, a new restaurant opening up in downtown. And so much more here on This Week in Waukesha. And don't forget, Stephanie Olson of Alterations Unlimited is my guest next week to talk about her recent experience and her heroics in bringing a violent offender to ultimate justice. So lots more to end. We're going to have the Farmers Market Report. Chris Moreau will be calling in with two reports beginning of the second hour and halfway through. And now that the rain has stopped, could be a good day to get over there. And so we're excited. Again, catch the show on the Civic Media app if you don't have your radio. But it is 101.1 FM, 540 AM, The Shaw. This Week in Waukesha continues.
The Shaw, WAUK. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as I'll be making my way back from the dentist. Will the Novocaine have worn off? It could be fun. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
If you're grilling this weekend, be sure to have plenty of Village Hearth buns on hand. Fancy equipment and secret sauces are great, but once you've mastered the basics, it's all about the bun. Your perfectly grilled burgers and hot dogs deserve the best. And with several varieties to choose from, including unsliced old-fashioned, classic white or wheat, country potato, and mini sliders, the bakers of Village Hearth have the buns your family will love. Village Hearth buns, locally baked and delivered fresh daily.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.